This is a CBC podcast. With Concerts On Demand, you can enjoy performances from acts like Tegan and Sarah, the Toronto Symphony Orchestra, and the Peggy Lee Band whenever you want. Find your favorites at cbc.ca/radio2/COD.
Good morning, Amelia.
Hi, good morning.
So what artifacts did you find?
We found a lot of organic artifacts made out of whalebone or wood that were quite well preserved. And a lot of them are things that we can't quite identify. So some we have, a harpoon head, a foreshaft for a harpoon. But there are some other pieces that we're just not quite sure about.
Can you kind of describe what they look like, what you see with these strange objects?
Sure. Some of the ones we found are these really flat sheets of whalebone that they've carved out sort of the spongy internal bone to make it. They're almost like sheets of plywood. They're quite solid, but they're also kind of flexible, and they're rather large, so it's hard to tell what exactly they are.
Any speculation on what they were used for?
From talking with a few people around here, around St. John's, some people are suggesting maybe it was used partly in construction, almost to like shore up the sides of the walls of the house or the sleeping platform within the house. And other ideas might be that it's kind of a blank, like they were going to make it into something else, but it never quite got there.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's another artifact that you mentioned before we came on air about a hybrid. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, we found this harpoon head, and it was what we call a surface find. So it wasn't found within the homes that we were excavating, but just outside them on the ground. And it's made out of ivory from a walrus tusk. But the unique thing about this harpoon head is that it doesn't fit in to what we think 18th century Inuit harpoon heads would look like. And a lot of people have been looking at pictures of this harpoon head and saying that it looks a lot like an earlier culture, the Dorset's harpoon head, but it definitely has this Inuit or Thule spin on it. So it's almost like a hybrid form of the two.
So how would it have both influences on this one item?
I think possibly what might have happened would be that a Thule or Inuit person was walking around and found this harpoon head from the earlier Dorset culture that had been left and then modified it to the way they thought a harpoon head should look and function. So they took the shape and changed some aspects to fit into their ideal of what a harpoon head should be.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've shared, as you said, these finds and pictures with other people. Can you tell me how that's gone over?
It's gone over quite well. I contacted a colleague of mine, Tim Rast, and he has a blog called Elf Shot, and he came in and looked at my artifacts. He's very familiar with organics like these, and he posted a blog post about it, and since then I've had people contacting me from other institutions within North America to give me some ideas on what they think some of these artifacts are. And it's kind of generated some excitement about how great some of the finds we're getting in Labrador really are.
And how far away are people who are contacting you about this?
I've had someone from Alaska write to me about checking into their collections because they think they might see something similar in Alaska, and people at the Smithsonian Institution in the States, and as well as across Canada, just with friends and colleagues of mine that have commented on different things that I've found so far.
And why is there so much interest and excitement? Like, what's the significance of these finds?
I think they're just providing another key into understanding Labrador history. And it's always interesting to archaeologists when we don't quite know what something is. It kind of gets us excited. We want to figure it out. So that kind of fires people up a bit when they see things that look sort of familiar, like something they know, but it doesn't quite fit what mm-hmm. we know it to be. So.
Mm-hmm. Why are you digging up this particular site in the beginning?
It's part of my PhD research, and I'm really interested in exploring the effects of colonialism on the Labrador Inuit. And I chose the site on Black Island because from a census record by the Moravians, we know that a woman named Mecock lived in this house, and she's a very prominent historical figure for the Labrador Inuit, and she's very well documented within the historical records.
Can you talk a little bit about that? What are you finding out in terms of the women's role in those days?
Yeah, it's something that's sometimes difficult to get at through archaeology, but because we do have these records that say a woman, a very prominent woman, lived in this house, we can kind of get a sense a little bit more at women's roles. And a number of people have sort of started exploring this, and a lot of people are starting to think that women during the colonial period and contact period with Europeans played quite a large role in the fact that they often made household decisions. So a lot of the European artifacts we see beginning to become incorporated into Inuit households were probably selected by women. So you can kind of get a sense at how a woman's role might have changed when all of a sudden faced with different material culture that they could incorporate into their own lives.
Mm-hmm. This excavation site is not that far from Nain. Are you drawing on people and resources there to find out more about these finds and artifacts?
Definitely. I plan to take some of these puzzling artifacts that we have back to Nain and see if anyone there can give me some ideas as to what they might be, what they could have been used for. And the site isn't that far. If people want to come out and visit, and if they have a speedboat, they can definitely come out to the island and check on what we're doing. And at the end of the summer, we like to do kind of like a show and tell, and we basically have all the artifacts out, and anyone can come in and ask questions and look at what we have been finding.
Great. Now, meantime, is there a place where people can go and check them out online or anything?
Well, currently, as I had mentioned, Tim's blog, he has a lot of great pictures of my organic artifacts up there, and I'm looking at ways to get other avenues out for the artifacts. I have them on my own personal Facebook account, but I'm hoping maybe I can arrange some sort of website where we can have pictures up for everybody to see.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds great. Well, thank you very much for telling me about it, and hopefully we can touch base again this summer when you're back.
That sounds great.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.